Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. I want to talk this morning about, and probably next week, because I don't think we'll get through both all of it this morning, about Moses and what a great man of God he was, what a great Christian he was, and the things about him that you and I can apply to our lives, that we can be that kind of a Christian. This is a great church, and I'm not going to go in because Pastor Jerry Ross said he doesn't want the people to be told how great they are, but I want you to understand this. The reason that this church has been blessed of God is because of the preaching and because people like you have decided to take some of the things that have been given and apply it to your life. But there are many things that we need as Christians in order for us to be what God wants. If you'll read what happened here, this is wonderful. Just imagine that God himself came down and said, there wasn't any man worthy to perform the burial service for Moses. And God said he would bury him. You say, how do you know that? Well, if you look at verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, in verse 6, and he, and that's talking about God, buried him in a valley of the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. God looked down and said, there is not one man worthy to perform the burial service of Moses because of the great man he was, because of the great Christian he was. Just imagine if you were going to have a service, you were in the coffin, the pastor got up to do the service, and all of a sudden God came and said, just go ahead and move on over because you're not worthy to perform the service of this great Christian. That's exactly what happened with Moses. And you look at Moses' life, you see that when he was born, there was a law given that all the male boys were to be killed, but his mom hid him in the bulrushes, had his sister watch him, and then Pharaoh's daughter came down and took a bath in the water and heard the baby cry, and being a woman, because a man probably wouldn't have thought anything about it, but being a woman, her heart strings were tugged. She went over and saw this child. Her sister came and said, I know a lady that can take care of him and wean him until he's old enough. And she said, that was fine. And so his own mom got to take care of him. Then God put him in Pharaoh's house. He was going to be very high in the, I started to say Egyptian government, but actually the Egyptian royal family. And he had a tremendous position because he was an adopted heir to the throne. We know one day that he sees a Jew fighting with a Jewish person fighting with a Egyptian. And Moses goes and kills the Egyptian, and because of that has to run and flee and is out there for years and years. And then God causes him to be used in a great way. The reason I'm saying that is this. There are some things that we have in our life that cause some people to stumble, cause some people to quit, cause some Christians to give up or never be used of God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning and help you to understand we can still be used of God and we can still have God blessing us if we would be like Moses. What made him special? It's because of the things I'm going to give you this morning, and it's things that all of us can have if we decide we're going to. I feel burdened, just like this sister is burdened for the bus route, I'm burdened for our country. And the reason our country is going down the tubes is simply because Christians have given up or are not doing what we need to do. And even though there are, God is blessed, and there's like three churches within probably 5 miles of this area that God is using, most of the country do not have churches that are standing for God and have the kind of people that God can use to do something great. And my concern is, if God doesn't come back, as we get older, are there enough people like us to step in and fill the gap and take over? I don't see it in too many places. And it's up to us to become what God wants for each of us to be used, that while we're here, we don't decide, as they used to call it on one of the places I worked, they said, this guy is just a road person. I said, what do you mean he's a road person? They said, he's retired on active duty. He's already retired, but he's still here. We cannot retire while we're still here. And so what was it that made Moses the man that he was, that God said, I'm going to perform the burial, and no one's going to know where it is because no one is capable of doing this. Look, if you will, at Exodus. I hope you got your Bible. You can at least write it down or turn to it. But Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11, and then Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 and 25. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11. And we see this. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And then if you'll look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Great faith chapter of the Bible. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The first thing that we have to have, and I hope that you have taught your children this and you'll teach your grandchildren this and that it's become part of your life, is that Moses chose God's way over position and wealth. Moses chose God's way over position and wealth. In America, everybody looks at, if you have a title and you have a lot of money, you must be blessed, you must be a great person. However, because of that, a lot of people take jobs where they cannot be here on Sunday, they cannot serve God, because they want the money or they want the title. Moses was going to be in line for the throne of Egypt, and yet he decided he would choose God's way and give up his position and his wealth. Matthew 6:33 is still in the Bible, and it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you serve God, you may not be rich in the world's eyes. You may not have a big title, but God will bless and take care of you. I dare say, if I ask everybody here, has God ever let you down and let you starve and just forgot about you? If you're honest, no one could raise their hand and say, yes, he has. Because God always takes care of you and blesses you. Now, you may not have steak all the time, but you know what? This is just me personally. I think beans and cornbread are pretty good. Okay? I like that. I don't mind that. And there's been times we've had beans and cornbread. There's a guy on the radio named Dave. I can't think of his last name right now, but he says sometimes you got to have beans and rice, and the next day you have rice and beans. Well, that's what you have to have. But you know what? God will sustain you and take care of you. David said he's never seen the righteous begging bread. Never seen that. So is it important to take a job that you can have Sunday off, or if you've got to choose, take a job with less money and less title, but be able to serve God? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You're never going to be, I'm going to tell you this, unless you're the wrong kind of preacher, you're probably not going to be rich serving God as far as things go. But oh, when you get to heaven, it's going to be great. As a Christian, the same way. As a Christian, the same way. The first thing that he did was he chose God's way over position and wealth. The second thing, and this is something all of us need to know and probably can do, he did not let his physical weakness stop him in life. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, I'll read those, but it just says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Moses did not talk clearly. He probably stuttered. But he followed God and he took God at his word and he let God use him. And he did not let his speech stop him from serving God. God can use anyone if you will let him. I know people that say, well, I can't sing a solo or anything because I don't have a beautiful voice. Yet some of the ones that don't have a beautiful voice, but I have heard get up there and you could just see it on their face and you could hear them sing. It touched your heart because what? They let God use them and they did what God wanted to do. Some people won't preach because they say, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I am not an eloquent speaker. I understand that. But I just told God, if you can use me, I will present the gospel the way you want. And God said, that's all I want is availability. Don't let whatever you see, well, I can't do this, just sit there and say, if you'll use me, I'll let you. I'll let you. Listen, we know the story of Balaam. Balaam wouldn't listen to God. And so what did God use to stop Balaam and to get Balaam's attention? He used a donkey. His own donkey, and his donkey stopped and started talking to him. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Balaam was surprised. I don't know why. I have never been around a donkey that could talk. Has anybody here been around a talking donkey? Okay. If you were riding a donkey and it stopped and turned around and told you something, would you be a little surprised? I think I would have been. But it doesn't say that. But he did listen to the donkey. God can use whatever he needs. And if he can use a donkey, can he use you with whatever you may have? He can. He can. Don't let, well, I can't do this, or whatever. I have seen people at this church and other churches to where the world would have said, I don't know how they're making it. They can barely walk in. Maybe they have to have a cane. I had a lady at one of our churches that had some surgery and was going to have surgery on her knees. She could not make her knees to bend. And so she couldn't come up the stairs. So she came on Wednesday night and got a chair at the very entrance and sat in the very back. As soon as she got in the door, that's all she could get in because she couldn't come up the stairs, just so she could be there to hear and to let people know Wednesday night, you're supposed to be at church no matter what. See, she didn't let her weakness, her physical weakness, stop her. Whatever your physical weakness is, whether it's that you're slow of tongue, or in my case, slow of mind, but whatever it is, don't let that stop you. Let God use you. God can use you if you will. And Moses said, Lord, I'm a stutterer. I have a hard time speaking. But I'm going to believe you and let you use me. And my, did he do great things for God. Great things for God. Number three, the third thing that we need to have that Moses had. He kept a good relationship with his family. He kept a good relationship with his family. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. Chapter 4, verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. It breaks my heart that there are Christians, I'm not saying that they're close to God, but I'm just saying that they are saved, who won't even talk to their own family. I know kids that have no relationship with their parents. Church I had, there was a sister and her sister, this lady and her sister lived in the same town, which is Carlisle. And if you've ever been to Carlisle, you can drive through it in about 18 seconds, okay? So maybe a little bit more, but it's not real big. They lived in the same town. They lived maybe just a few blocks away. And they had not talked to each other for 5 years. 5 years. These were sisters. You say, what happened? I don't know the whole story. Don't really want to, never did really want to know. I tried to talk to her and she just said, no, it won't work. I'm trying to say this. Don't do anything that's going to cut your relationship off with your family. Because there's going to be times in your life when the only one you're going to have is your family. Okay? You need to have a dad and a mom, if they're still alive, that you can go to. I had wonderful in-laws. My father-in-law is still alive. My mother-in-law is in heaven. But they were wonderful, wonderful people. There's a lot of jokes about in-laws, but I'll tell you what, I had great in-laws. I wouldn't have traded them for anything. You need to look and say, what's my relationship with my family? Am I the right kind of mom or mother-in-law or father-in-law or dad? What are we, grandparents? You know, it's easy to be a grandparent, I think. It's easy for us because we play with the kids. We give them all the sugar in the world that they want. And then we just say, okay, it's time to go home. So you're going to have them. But you got to love them. What I'm trying to say is, Moses had a good relationship with his family. How's yours? How's yours? Can you sit and say, you know, I have a good relationship if your mom and dad's still alive with them, with your in-laws, with your brothers and sisters? I want to say this today. If there's something that is causing the relationship to be strained, just get over it. You say, but you don't know what they did. I know. But just love them and forgive them, and maybe if you do, maybe that will help and bring you closer together when in time of need, all you have is each other. Wouldn't it be terrible? And I've done many funerals. I used to always say this, and I'm not saying it to be funny, but I have done probably two or three times as many funerals as weddings. I feel more comfortable at a funeral than a wedding, and that's probably not right, but it's just easier. But my point is, I have been to funerals to where the family who was left wouldn't even talk to each other. Some of them wouldn't come. Some would sit on the other side. Don't let it be that said of a Christian. Don't be that way. Moses had a good relationship with his family. Fourthly, and there's 11 of these. We won't get through all of them, but I'm just letting you know ahead of time. Moses understood that compromise never gives what it promises. Compromise never gives what it promises. Exodus chapter 10, verses 24 through 29, Moses had an opportunity to compromise. Pharaoh said this, and we're talking about the 10 plagues and what was going on. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not go with them. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. Compromise never gives what it promises. Had Moses did what Pharaoh said, would he have let him go? No. No. He would have then wanted something else. Because this is what happens. You compromise one time and then Satan knows, okay, now I can get him to do something else. I can get him to do something else. Because once you go once, they can get the next time. I don't think this will ever happen, but keep this in mind because Satan wants to do this all the time. He wants a Christian not to have any beliefs. He wants us not to use the King James Bible. Okay? That in fundamental churches, that is one of the biggest problems going on right now is what Bible to use. Can you imagine if we were having responsive reading and I said, I'll read one and one verse you read the next, and you were in a church that every version was okay? I forget how many there was about 30 or 40, I think there's more than that now. And everybody had a different version. And so I started reading, and the next verse, everybody read the other one, and everybody had a different thing to say. But that's what they're doing in a lot of churches. They try to change the Bible. Then if you can get the Bible to be changed, you change the music. It doesn't have to be in this order, but this is what usually happens. They go from singing the hymns to they'll bring in a song here and a song there. Pretty soon, you don't have the piano anymore. You just have recorded music. You have a big screen that comes down, and you follow the bouncing ball. And this is true. I'm not making this up. You haven't been in those churches. I haven't either, but I've talked to people that have. They don't have any books in the hymnals because you don't need them. You don't sing. Most of them, we call them 7-11 churches. You sing the same seven words 11 times, okay? And that's what you do over and over. You change your music. You change your dress code. Well, we shouldn't have to dress up to come to church. And so, whatever you want to wear, except that, is God the King of Kings? Yes. Does he deserve our best? Yes. Now, maybe you can't afford a $500 suit. I can't either. But you just being the cleanest and the best that you have. There was a church over in the area I was at, and I hate to say this, but there would be ladies that would come in their bathing suit and just have a long t-shirt over it while they came to church so they could go right to the beach or go swimming afterwards. And you say, is that true? Yes, it was. Yes, it is. Because why? Well, we don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. We want to welcome everybody to church. Yes, you do. These little bus kids, a lot of them don't understand, so you let them come. And we did as well. But if you know better, and if you're saved, you should be wearing the best that you can. And you should never be wearing, and I would have just asked them to leave, be wearing a bathing suit with a t-shirt over to come to church. But you see, if you compromise on, well, if it's okay to have 12 or 13 different versions of the Bible, if it's okay to have this song and that song, then why can't we dress this way? And you can't. You have to sit there and say, well, I don't know. That's what it is. Don't compromise. Don't compromise on anything. Whatever God has said, stick with it and don't change. It's hard. I'm just stopping for a second because in this day and age, I've talked to evangelists that have gone to different churches that say they're independent fundamental. And they get there and they said, the only thing that's independent fundamental is the sign that they've got outside the church because it is not that way inside. One evangelist I talked to, he came and the pastor said, this was on a Thursday, I think the meeting, or Friday, and the meeting was going to start on a Sunday. And he said, I hope this won't be a problem. He said, but we don't use the King James here, and we don't want you to use the King James. And he said, that won't be a problem for me. He said, I'm gone. So he just got in, packed his trailer, and took off. He said, because that's it. But I said, was it an independent fundamental church? And he goes, yeah, that's what it said. You see, you can change, just change this and then change this. Everybody wants to change all the time. You have to stand. And Moses stood. He realized if he would have left the animals like he said, he'd have wanted something else when he came back. And then he wanted something else. You got to stand. Understand, compromise never gives what it promises. Compromising changes us from what we are right now to something that we have always been against in the past. Okay? Understand, compromise will change you from what you are right now to something that you have always been against in the past, and that's where we're going in America in so many churches. Well, we can't reach the young people unless we have this, and I don't know what the newest music is. I quit listening to radio music on the radio years ago. So I don't know what it is. I know there's still rap out there. I don't know what the other stuff is. We've got to have this. We've got to have two services. We've got to have a regular service for the old folks. That's us, okay? All right. And then, oh, that's me at least, okay? And then we've got to have the contemporary service for all the young people, okay? Except they can't show you that in the Bible. They can't say, here's the verse that God says that. What they're saying is, we want to use what the world does to attract people and bring it into the church and make the church and the world the same so that we can get the people to come in and they won't feel offended. Listen, whether you realize it or not, the main reason to come to church, well, there's two, is to hear from God, and if there's things in your life that aren't right, to be convicted and to get it right. You're not going to be convicted if you have the world in the church. And that's what they want. They don't want to be convicted because then they have to make a decision and they just don't want to have to do that. They want to come and feel good. They want to enjoy it. They want to just have rock, you know, the rock concert in the church on Sunday and then, you know, and just have a good time. That's not it. Compromising changes us from what we are right now to something that we were always been against in the past. That's where it's at. And yet, that's what is going on all across America. Moses, here's your chance, Moses. All you got to do is leave your animals. And Moses said, no, I'm not leaving them because we got to have these to sacrifice to God. We're taking them with us. We're not going to compromise. God wants people to stand for him. He needs a group of people that will stand for him and say, I'm not going to compromise. This will never happen here, but if it did... And I know it won't. It's probably the farthest thing from anybody's mind. But if, for whatever reason, Pastor Jerry Russ got up and said, we're going to switch over to the NIV, okay? And I know it won't happen. I'm using probably the most far-out thing I could think of. I would hope that the deacons would get up there and say, Pastor, I know you've lost your mind, and we're going to escort you out the back and get some help for you, okay? And that the rest of the church would be saying the same thing. But even though we laugh about it, there are churches all across America that say they're independent fundamental, that the pastor has got up and said, we're going to start doing this. Or here's the other one they'd like to do. I'll preach from the King James, but I like to use the other ones to study with to see what they're saying and get that. You know what? When I prepared last night, you know what I used? This Bible. And that's all I need. You don't need any other version to say what does it mean. I think it's pretty plain. But that's what they're wanting to do. And so they're people, and the people don't know their Bible. This is one of my pet peeves. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm just saying if you don't, you can do it. You should know all 66 books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and be able to say them. I had an 80-year-old lady in our church that didn't know them all, and I promised a Bible to whoever could get them with their name on it. And at 80 years old, she learned all of them and got up and said them, okay? So if you're 80 or less and you don't know them, you should be able to. If you're over 80, I don't know. I haven't had anybody at 85 or 90, but you should know that. So if the pastor gets up and starts saying, we're going to study out of the book of Hezekiah, you're going to know there is no book of Hezekiah, okay? Instead of trying to find it, all right? Or knowing if he says, let's turn to Mark chapter 20, you know there's no 20 chapter of Mark, okay? You've got to know those things. Compromise will make it where you just sit there and whatever they say is okay and you believe and you let it go. And that's what's going on in America. Know what you believe and be willing to stand for it and give your life for it, but also just know we're not going to change. We're not going to change. Moses, I'll let the people go if you'll do this. And Moses said, I'm not going to do it, Pharaoh. He said, I'm not going to see you anymore, but you're not going to get our cattle because we're taking that to sacrifice with. I'm not sure because I'm always in the back out there with you, so I don't know what time do they usually cut off so they can bring everybody in? Oh, okay. Well, then we're done. Okay. We'll start with number five next time. Let me just go through this real quickly. The first four things are this: on what you need as a Christian. Choose God's way over position and wealth. Do not let your physical weakness stop you in life. Keep a good relationship with your family. And understand that compromise never gives what it promises. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. Lord, we just pray it's been a blessing to the people. And Lord, we ask that it was a blessing that what you wanted. Lord, just give us a great day. We just pray that we'll see many saved today and hearts changed. And thank you for this church. Lord, just thank you most of all for our salvation. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.